Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon, copyright 2012. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
As you remain standing, please give attention to the reading of God's Word. This morning from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning at the 9th verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we do thank you for sending us our King, our Lord Jesus, the one who came humbly, speaking peace to the nations. May we take his yoke upon us and learn from him and be gentle and humble in heart. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Disappointments are very powerful drivers in our lives. Don Morgan is a middle-aged man whose life didn't go exactly the way he had planned. He started off as a student in a military academy. He had dreams and aspirations of being part of the 82nd Airborne. But things didn't quite go the way he had planned. He was not accepted into that. He later went into law enforcement, became a bodybuilder. But because of disappointments in his life, his failed dreams, a divorce, he turned to drinking, he turned to fighting, and he found himself arrested for firing a gun in a crowded restaurant. He later turned to Islam. He sought to be part of ISIS. He sought to make his allegiance to the Mujahideen and saw himself as a jihadist. He has since been arrested, but we see the disappointments in his life, though he was born into a Catholic family, has driven him completely to another perspective. Many who enthusiastically embraced Jesus on that first Palm Sunday were the same ones who were crying at the end of the week, "Crucify him, crucify him." And what started out as "Behold your King" gave way to "Behold the man," battered, beaten, and bruised, even to the point of being unrecognizable. Isaiah 53 predicted that he would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. But the prophet Zechariah reminds us that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit that he brings his kingdom in. And he also says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. So Zechariah reminds us that God is the one who writes the story. And in these three verses we have before us this morning, he's painting a picture of a rejoicing people, of a reigning king, and of a redeeming sacrifice. Let us look first at the rejoicing people that Zechariah prophesies. Now, I would remind you that Zechariah prophesied about 500 years before Jesus came. He prophesied at the time that the exiles were returning back to Jerusalem. And in many ways, he was a prophet of hope, a prophet who was telling the people that one day your true king will come. And so he's telling them to rejoice. Rejoice, O daughter Zion. And he uses that very familiar phrase, daughter of Zion. The people of God. The people that, this remnant that God brought back out of exile. Out of the time in which they were destroyed as a nation by Nebuchadnezzar and carried off to Babylon because of their harlotry and prostituting themselves to other gods. But God said there would always be a remnant, and that remnant he calls his daughter Zion, the one who would be a people that he prepares for his own son to marry. And the people rejoice before him. The gospel account tells us that Jesus told his disciples to go and get a donkey and to bring it to him, even as he is on the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem. And as he mounts this donkey and begins to ride it down the valley and then back up into the gates of Jerusalem, the people begin to gather, and they begin to cut down palm branches, the Gospel of John tells us, and to lay their cloaks on the road, and to wave their palm branches, and to lay them down before them as welcoming a king like no other. Indeed, David told his son Solomon to come and riding on a donkey. The Prince of Peace, Solomon's name was, to come and speak peace to the people. And even as the people are praising Jesus and shouting their hallelujahs and their hosannas, the religious rulers are rebuking him and telling him, tell your disciples not to do this. And Jesus says, if they remain silent, even the stones will cry out because of this day. Children were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. And again, the jealous religious leaders were rebuking him and telling him to not permit them to do this. But Jesus says, have you never read? And then he goes on to quote from Psalm 8, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Or in some versions, you have ordained strength. The enemies of Jesus, hearing the people shouting at their hallelujahs, hearing the children crying out praise to this Messiah, the Son of David, they even say, the whole world has gone after him. But it was Caiaphas, the high priest of the day, who also gave a prophecy. And he gave a prophecy to his religious leaders saying, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. And John tells us that he did this not necessarily on his own authority, but as the high priest, he was prophesying, not knowing what he was even saying about Jesus. And so we have this multitude of people welcoming Jesus, rejoicing before him, and some genuinely were rejoicing to see their humble king coming before them. Others, though, were seeking their own purposes. And just as Jesus told the parable about the seed that is sown in different places, some on the hard ground and Satan comes and snatches that seed away, some on among the thorns and it grows up and the cares and worries of life just choke them out. Then some in the shallow soil in which it springs up with great joy at first, but then the heat of persecution comes on and it quickly withers away. But the seed that falls on the good soil, that seed takes root, bears fruit, bears under whatever persecution comes, and produces fruit 30, 60, even 100-fold. And so while some people were genuinely rejoicing, others were genuinely disappointed that their king did not bring in the kind of kingdom they were looking for, the kind of overthrow of the Roman government that they were seeking, the kind of freedom that they wanted. But indeed, Jesus did come as king. He comes as king to reign. He comes as a conquering king, though you would not think so by the means in which he entered into Jerusalem and the humility in which he came. But he comes in peace. See, Jesus comes not as the superhero movies of our day that come in with modern weapons and overwhelming force and invincibility. He comes in humility. He comes in offering himself as a sacrifice. He comes with justice and salvation, Zechariah prophesies. Deliverance, true deliverance. Not just deliverance from the outside oppressions and the difficulties of life, but a deliverance from our own sinful natures. A deliverance to set us free, set our souls free, to become all that he has created us to be. He comes in humility, not with the force of the sword. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. He comes to end war, not to start war. He speaks peace to the nations, and we see the extent that his kingdom will go. And whereas other military powers have sought by force, and just 20 years before this, Daniel was prophesying all the kingdoms that would be coming down the road after Babylon. There would be the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans. And then eventually, that stone carved from a mountain, carved without hands, come and smashing the rest. Not by force, not by might, not by power, says the Lord, but by my spirit he comes. He comes to rule indeed, to rule over all of mankind, but it's not going to be at the edge of a sword, and it's not going to be at the end of a fighter jet. It's going to be because His Spirit accomplishes it. He says, this is the way, walk in it. And so we have to embrace life with all its disappointments. We don't get to pick the stories that we play a part of. You know, I once was a child, as some of you might agree with me, but others may not. But as a child in a church, we let the children in this church tell the story of Jesus' last week on earth. And as you would go from the youngest children's classrooms to the oldest around this horseshoe, that it'd be telling the story, and the younger ones would be telling the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the palm branches being waved. And when I was 5 or 6, I got to be picked to be Jesus. So I put on my bathrobe and I got to ride that spring horse. And all the kids in the in my class were waving palm branches. And the parents would come by and see it. You know, I'd wave to my parents, you know, as I'm riding along. Well, a few years later, as I got older and I would play the later parts in the story, they picked me to be Pilate. I mean, to go from Jesus to Pilate, I mean, you can imagine my disappointment. But disappointments in life come when we don't always get to pick the story that we play out. Several years ago, there was a book that came out called The Prayer of Jabez, and it was a very popular book, and it received some criticism as well. As you may recall, the prayer of Jabez comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And this is what it says. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez," which means pain, by the way, "saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him his request." I was reading in a book that was given to our family, called Mansfield's Book of Manly Men. And he comments on the life of Jabez. And some people think, well, maybe he's using a little too much license in his commenting. But he's picking up on the fact of a couple things. One, that God says in here, introducing the story, that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And yet his mother named him Pain, because of the pain she caused him when he was born. And Mansfield goes on to say that, Jabez had to go through this journey of overcoming this stigma of sorts, that he was a person who caused pain, even pain to the person you would argue that should love him the most and that he perhaps loved the most. But his final prayer is that I may not cause pain. This is what Mansfield writes. "Like Jabez, we too have wounds and regrets, curses and smallness. We too have voices in our lives that reinforce fear and despair. We might also have a growing sense that we are less than we were made to be. Our wounds and failures make us cower in the shadows while our wives, our sons and daughters, and those who we are meant to protect and lead suffer from our refusal to be honorable like Jabez. bless me, enlarge me, free me from the curse of what I have been. Let your hand be upon me. The core lesson comes to us fiery and fast. Honorable men refuse to wallow in the small and the bitter. Honorable men refuse to hate life because something once went wrong. Honorable men don't build monuments to their disappointments, nor do they let others brand them and curse them to their destruction. Honorable men seek out the highest definition of their lives, the nobler meanings granted by heritage, by their ancestors' dreams, and their parents' hopes. Honorable men cry out to God until curses are broken and a grander purpose is achieved. Honorable men don't settle for lives of regret. So we see how God can use pain, disappointments, hardships and sufferings in our lives to cause us to cry out to Him, to cause us to look to Christ, to take His yoke upon us, and to learn from Him who is gentle and humble in heart. Well, Zechariah not only speaks of a rejoicing people and a reigning king, but he also speaks of a redeeming sacrifice. He speaks of the blood of the covenant. And as the writer of the Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus knew what he was riding into when he rode into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. He knew the fickleness of the crowd and their disappointments in what he would be and what he would not be that they were hoping that he was. And yet, they were not willing to embrace God's plan, God's perspective on how to redeem a nation. Caiaphas knew it, though Caiaphas didn't even know what he was saying when he said it's expedient for one man to die than for the entire nation to perish. Indeed, that's why Jesus set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. He was going there to die, and he knew it. But in his death, as he said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, unless it's actually buried and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it will be resurrected. It will bring forth new life. And that's what Jesus knew, that his enemies did not know. And so the blood of the covenant had to be shed. And as Moses sprinkled the blood on the people and on the altar, saying, this is the blood of the covenant, so Jesus sheds his blood for us. Baptism is a picture of that sprinkling of the blood of the covenant upon us. And so we understand that we were indeed redeemed at a price, at a very high price. We were bought with a price, Paul says, therefore glorify God with your bodies. And so we have something to do with ourselves. God gives us a purpose. And it doesn't matter how it all started. It doesn't matter the pain in which we were brought into life, the painful things that we may have gone through in life. God has a purpose for us, a purpose to redefine that pain, redefine the mars of skin of sin in our lives, and to make something new out of it through the redemption that comes only through Christ. indeed his kingdom cannot be stopped, as Zacharias says. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the same view that Isaiah had when he spoke and saying, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, because Jesus comes to cut off the chariot and the horse from Jerusalem, to cut off the battle bow. He comes to speak peace to the nations, but that peace only comes from surrendering to the Prince of Peace. And that's where we come in. He calls us to disciple the nations with his heart of service, with his heart of sacrifice. He calls us to teach the nations how not to war against one another. But that begins in our own homes. That discipling the nation begins with our own children and our own people, our own church and our own community. How do we work through the conflict that inevitably comes into our lives? Do we yield to the Prince of Peace and ask him for grace to change us, to make us more like him, humble and gentle, not forcing our agenda, but really seeking his peace, living with the disappointments and the pain that comes in life, and wanting to make something better of it? That's what Jesus calls us to. Our King has come. We must rejoice. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his kingdom and what he is doing throughout the world. It doesn't come by force. It doesn't come by might. It comes by my spirit, Zechariah tells us. So we must embrace his story. We must be patient for it to unfold among the nations. We must commit to seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, not despising the day of small beginnings. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we do come to you praying even as Jabez prayed, that you would indeed bless us, but not that we could hoard our blessings, but that we might be a blessing even to the nations. Father, enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us, keep us from evil, and in the place of pain, help us to bring redemption and new life through Jesus, who laid down his life for us and took it up again for your glory.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.